For Wednesday, August 25th, 2010, it's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 2, Skeeters. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. I live in the high desert of Arizona, not a place you'd normally think of as being buggy, you know? I mean, outside of scorpions and spiders and Africanized honeybees that'll swarm you just for looking at them. And yes, I know the former two are not insects, but we'll get along better if you aren't pedantic. Run with me on this. Before we moved here from the Northeast with its impressive mosquito populations and accompanying encephalitis scares, I figured life on the small scale, as it were, would be at a minimum. I figured termites, fire ants if we were unlucky, maybe a tarantula hawk wasp or two. They can be pretty. You know, desert stuff. Well, those animals are here, but they don't grab your attention right away. No, no. Think cowboys, cattle country, sorta, used to be, not so much now. But people sure like their horses here, and horses get you, that's right, flies. I'm actually an insect fan. I find them really interesting, but I don't like them roaming around freely in my home, and I don't like them in my face. If you have a neighbor with any kind of livestock, except for chickens and the like, which can actually keep the bug population down, then you know what those poor kids on the Feed the Children commercials late at night are going through. I mean, it's just disgusting. The flies are everywhere certain times of year. And it really gets me, because people hereabouts are very into their barbecue, you know? They're out there cooking their steaks and stuff. Oh, they love that nice mesquite smell, that juicy grilled flavor, and cooking in the great outdoors and all that. So what if there's a few bugs around? No big deal. That's nature right there, the way food was meant to be cooked. Well, for crying out loud, the flies were just snacking on dog crap, and they're landing on the food. Is it just me? You wouldn't lick a farmer's boots. Why is it okay to eat something a fly was walking all over? Because they're small? Because you can't actually see the crap? Does that mean that if you close your eyes, it's okay to go for the farmer's feet? Of course not. When you start connecting all the dots, the grate starts slinking away from the whole cooking in the great outdoors thing. You start eating a lot of frozen pizzas. Anyway, the flies are not the worst of it. The first summer we were in our new house turned out to be the scheduled coming out party for the periodic cicadas that happened to live in the area. Cicada, cicada, tomato, tomato, you know the critter I mean. And it's just like they say. There's peace and quiet, and then holy crap! Within a couple hours, you got thousands of the things right outside your window, singing and buzzing and making the most ear-splitting racket you ever heard. I started wearing earplugs at night because they only have a week or two to perpetuate the species. You know, it's love on a tight schedule, and they're working it like a call girl on the corner. Now again, I think insects are cool, but you gotta understand, my wife grew up in the projects in the Bronx, and she's got this thing about cockroaches and New York roaches. I gotta tell you, they must import them from the tropics because some of them are just huge. And the really big ones there, they call them water bugs. But, you know, we're not talking about those cute little Hans Brinker skating guys you see on still pools and bucolic groves. No, these are massive brown, stomp on them, hear them crunch, and they still walk away kind of guys. At my old job, they used to set off the mouse traps. No lie. It was, ugh. Anyway, the cicadas are big and brown, and they crunch under your feet as you walk to the car, because, again, they're all over. And Mrs. Bronx was having flashbacks and nightmares. Now, I thought at first these cicadas were on the four-year cycle, but we passed that mark, and they didn't return. I figure they must be on the seven-year cycle then, which means we can expect them next year sometime. Maybe we'll throw a party. And what about the damn bees out here anyway? Remember when the whole killer bee scare came around in the United States back in the, what was it, the 70s? If you're too young for that, Or if you're from a country that had the good taste to pass up that particular piece of mouth frothing, no worries, you didn't miss much. But if you can remember it, do you recall when there were all those cheap-ass movies being made about massive swarms of deadly bees descending on cities and towns and wiping everybody out? Sometimes they had them carrying plagues, too, just to add to the fun. Well, there were also a couple of horror-slash-fantasy-type movies back then that more or less had the plot in common of some human woman standing in for the Bee Queen, and all the bees would follow her will, or how the bees themselves had to choose some cute young girl to replace the evil old hag who was dying. Now, how exactly the reproductive aspect of life in these hives was supposed to go down was never made clear, but whatever, they didn't have to make sense. So, there was always a scene in each of these movies when an unsuspecting victim walked into a room to find the place just filled with bees. I mean, they're all over the windows, the walls, the floor, and they're flying through the room like it's free swim night at the public pool. Usually, this is the last scene that victim has in the film. 2 years back, I had the distinct pleasure of living that scene out in real life. Luckily, my agent was able to arrange for me to have a few more scenes in this live production, so I guess I was the B-list protagonist this time around, pun intended. Either way, I open the door, and bam, the friggin' things are everywhere. They're all over the walls and floor, and especially around the window, which was closed. And then they're on me. I got a little nervous. Okay, I screamed and ran like a whipped dog, but I rallied my nerve and went back in with a fly swatter. Yeah, there were lots of them. Yeah, they could have been Africanized bees. Yeah, I didn't even have a can of bug spray in the house. No matter, I took up arms and did battle. I was the Swatinator. I was looking for Apis mellifera. I was told that it was there. Because as it turned out, they were indeed honeybees, not killer bees. Now that was nice, because I'd have otherwise been a sad customer the moment I swatted the first one. Now, knucklehead that I am, I did this in bare feet, since I don't tend to wear footgear in the house, and I was fixated on the enemy at that moment. And thus, for my troubles, I stepped on one I'd swatted that still had enough wherewithal to sting me. Little Bronx, who has to see everything I do, had sneaked up behind me as I worked and got a zap in the arm. He's a tough little guy, though, and didn't even notice until later. Well, long story short, it seemed that a hive had taken up residence under the house and had somehow found their way into the ductwork down there and through that, the house up above. I closed off all the ducts and taped up all the cracks around them, and then we had to decide what to do. Now, a little context. Though I'm not currently as active in it as I once was, I am a hobbyist mead maker. Mead is an alcoholic beverage made from honey. Bees make honey. I therefore have a certain affection for these hard-working little ladies who provide the world with so much, ranging from the aforementioned honey to various nutritional supplements, wax products, and without doubt the most important service of all, pollination of cultivated crops, the value of which runs into many billions of dollars per annum, and without which up to 1/3 of the foods we take for granted would not be available to anyone at any price. Bees are vital members of nature, the global food cycle, and human economies the world over. They are also currently in crisis, as a plague of somewhat mysterious and unprecedented lethality has been devastating hives across North America and parts beyond for the last decade or more. Look it up if you have a mind. It's bad news. Very, very bad news if you are a farmer, a beekeeper, or a bee. I'm not any of those things, though, so I called an exterminator who came out here in a moon suit and just gassed the little SOBs into history. Yeah, there are bee relocation services available where a so-called expert will come out and try to capture up the queen and get the rest of the hive to follow her to a new location. I wasn't having any of that. They came into my house. The friggin' moochers just moved right in like Cato Kalin. Where do they get off? Do I go around messing with bees? I don't keep the things. I buy my honey at Walmart, for crying out loud. Nah, it was on. It was war. World War I, to be exact, and they were in the trenches and oops, They forgot their gas masks. Oh well, chalk up another one for Union Carbide. But even that, even the battle of the bees isn't the worst of it. No, no. For the pestiest pest of all pesty pests, we have to look to the humble mosquito. Yes, those same bugs we thought we'd moved away from. We must have brought them with us, I guess, along with maybe a couple hundred acres of wetlands we still have boxed up somewhere, because they're here and they have numbers. And my particular joy of them includes being especially attractive and reactive to them. That's right, I walk outside, doesn't matter, day or night, and I'm a target. And what's worse, a weeny little bite I didn't even feel will blow up bigger than that friggin' bee sting did and itch all the way down to my spleen. And little Bronx, bless his dear heart, has inherited this gift and somehow amplified it. His mosquito bites sometimes get infected. Last week he looked like we used them for BB gun practice. I mean, what the hell? This is the desert? I have yet to even see a scorpion out here, let alone a tarantula. And we can't even drain the swamps to get rid of the buggers because there ain't no swamps. Where are they coming from? What, are they on tour? Did they spend a week on a bus from Bayonne or something? Maybe they're passing through and just have to stop and say hey to their old pal, L&B. Well, I could do without it, I'll tell you. I wouldn't miss them a bit. I'd gas their asses, too, if I could find them. I'd go after them all with the swatter if I could even see them. As mosquitoes go, these are small guys. They're like the size of fruit flies. You don't even know they're there until you're ripping your skin off in itchy madness. No. No way. I hate them. More than any other life form I could name, next to some humans I could name, I hate mosquitoes. I hate them for the disease thing, which thankfully we don't have to deal with hereabouts. I hate them for the itch thing, which, honestly, I was thinking about this. Doesn't the fact that their bites itch seem counter-evolutionary? After getting bitten, I'm ready to perform genocide on all the mosquito species I can lay my hands on. How does that help their cause? Wouldn't it be better if their bites didn't itch? We wouldn't automatically be swatting at them the moment we see them. They'd just be another gnat. Fewer swats means more mosquitoes. More mosquitoes means, well, more mosquitoes. See, I think about these things in the middle of the night when it's dark and quiet enough to hear a bug's wings whine. Okay, feedback. Well, as I said last time, I'm going to try to do this one without a script. I feel comfortable with scripts. I have a theatrical background, nothing to write home about. I never made much money with it, though I did make some. That was a long time ago, in another life, as they say. In this life, I got one email about the last show, and that was from my good friend Deep Geek. Deep Geek, thank you. He said some nice things, said he liked the show, and that was very kind. Then again, he is a friend, and I do expect him to say kind things, even if he hated it, so I guess I won't really know until someone I don't know writes in and tells me what they really thought of it. But on the off chance that no one writes again, Deep Geek, keep the keyboard handy and ready. And that's it for this episode. Just something that's been on my mind. Now it's off my mind. Maybe it's on yours now. If so, sorry. Then again, you get what you pay for. So until next time, this is Lost in Bronx saying, don't let the effers bug ya. Take care. You can contact me at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX at Gmail. You can find the script for this episode on my Gopher space. That's gopher://gopher.info-underground.net/1/LostinBronx/palaver/. The music for this show is called AWEL, or AWEL, or something, A-W-E-L, by Steph Sachs, found on dig.ccmixter.org. Palaver is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 unported license. Feel free to copy or use it for any purpose, even commercial. Just say where it came from and pass it along in the same way.